Shall we begin?
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And, you know, it goes immediately from the NCAA to the WNBA. We just saw UConn win the national championship, and already it's time for the WNBA draft. This Thursday, we will have 12 women gathered at Mohegan Sun Arena to face their futures and see where they end up with as the teams go through the rounds. And I'm pleased to welcome to this Wishin. It's great to have back last year's number one draft choice, Chinne Igwumike. Chinne, how are you?
I am doing really well. Nice to be back.
Well, Chinne, you know, I guess my first question for you is, can you believe that it's been a year?
Oh, my gosh. I absolutely cannot believe that it's been a year. It's been like warp speed. So many things have happened, you know, and I just feel like really I've had a great year one. A few bumps in the road, but so optimistic, and it's really exciting, especially, you know, approaching the draft as well. I remember, you know, sitting in those chairs and being super nervous and freaked out, and then, you know, I was just really blessed and fortunate to go to a good team and to have a great experience and to have a lot of help and mentors. So it's crazy. I can't believe it. It's been a year. I feel old.
And actually, we were recording this on Tuesday the 14th, so it was exactly a year. It was.
Oh, wow.
It was tonight at 8 o'clock, probably around 8:02 tonight. It was will be exactly that one-year mark for Chinne Igwumike being part of the Connecticut Sun, and we're glad we have you. But I want to talk about the draft experience and what it was like. Now, how far in advance did you go to Connecticut to get to start getting acclimated and going through whatever they have planned for you for draft week?
When are the girls there now?
I think they might be on their way. I'm not positive.
Yeah, this is going to be super fast for them. I feel like I had a little bit of downtime, for instance, like maybe about a week turnaround from like finishing my last game to getting drafted. And that's more, I think they have had a little bit less time than me. I was lucky and fortunate to get the Wooden Award. So that's sort of, I missed like day one and a half of the draft. But it's still like, regardless, this turnaround is like unfathomable. It's crazy.
What do they do when you get there? I mean, what can you share with us about the planning that they do for you, the training, the indoctrination, for lack of a better word, to being a professional?
Yeah, it is a lot of meetings, a lot of meetings. And it's so many meetings that when it comes to draft day, you're like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Because, you know, you get so much information from learning about, you know, 401K to meeting a couple of the lead players. You know, Tamika is usually always there. To learning about, you know, branding and how you present yourself as a professional. Because you, like, it's sort of like you wake up the next day and you're gone from college and you're all of a sudden in this new world of, oh, you can do this now. You know, NCAA is a little different with what you can and cannot do. And so you're learning a lot about the league, the history of the league and everything. It's a lot. It's a lot thrown at them. You're there, you wake up maybe like at 6, 7, and you don't go to bed until maybe 9, 10 p.m. Days full of meetings and getting acclimated with all with the institution, with the WNBA.
Do you get a chance to spend time? I mean, I know you're all together, but do you get a chance to get to talk to everybody else that's there, get a chance to share experiences? I mean, the days of nobody knowing each other is long gone with AAU and USA Basketball and that. But do you get a chance to catch up and see what people have been doing in their last years?
So I think everyone talks, like, initially Alyssa and I bonded over, you know, the Final Four. She was my future teammate. And so, you know, being at the Final Four, we talked about our experiences. I mean, obviously we bonded on the other end. We lost to the Final Four. So we're like, man, you played well. And then she was like, oh, no, you played well. Honestly, there's not much time to get to know each other. I mean, you get to catch up and say, hey, how are you doing here or there? But there's so much information being, you know, thrown at the draftees' way that it's really just on draft day that you get to, you know, sit together and everyone's getting glammed up together, everyone's getting interviewed together, and that's where you sort of find out who most likely is going to be your teammate after a while. So there's not much time for socializing, honestly, because of the quick turnaround. But it is a great, like, it's great to catch up with people, to, like, all be in this collective point where you're like, okay, we have declared for the draft, and this is really exciting, and you're all anxious, you're all going through the same emotions, so it's really neat. I will mention, though, that, like, the way we had fun last year was that, I mean, we had meetings from, you know, the most interesting things to the a little, you know, not so interesting, you know, talking about finance and, like, statistics. And Odyssey Sims made it so fun because anytime someone says something, she'd be like, you get a fine for that? Do you get a fine for that? Because they talked about fines. So I was like, she went on a little Marshawn Lynch mode, which kept things entertaining. Yeah, so it was, you know, you find ways to see people's personalities in those meetings, but it's a lot of information.
Now, when you started to get a chance to talk to the veterans and get some interplay with them, how important did you find it to have veteran mentors, both at the beginning with the draft and then over the course of the year, you and being in Connecticut, you know, Katie Douglas was a mentor to everybody that was there. Plus there were other players with experience, but it was a younger team with the exception of Katie.
Yeah, I think it's, like, absolutely crucial that you have mentors. And I think I had an edge in that department because of my sister. My sister was at the draft, obviously, just before me, but then she was also, you know, on the player panel. They have a player panel where, like, previous players. My year, it was Tamika, Essence Carson, I think my sister, and a couple other players. And it's sort of like all the officials, you know, the president, vice president, everyone just leaves. And it's just the players and the draftees, and you can ask any question in the world. And you get, you know, so that's a great welcome to the league because, you know, you have all these questions that you don't want to be judged for asking, you know. So it's like, that was a memorable moment for me. But then when it comes to, like, actually being in the league and having mentors, I think one of my favorite coming to the league moments was, I think, maybe our third or fourth game last year. We played Minnesota, and I was just talking because I just visited my sister in Russia. I was just talking to Simone about it. It was their ring night. And we played a remarkable game against Minnesota, and after the game, Lindsey Whalen came up to me and was like, hey, you know, you did so well. Welcome to the league. We're so glad to have you. And just having people in different cities, you know, different players, you know, my teammate sister, Candace Parker, or, you know, anybody that just, you know, really understands the game, tell you as a draftee or like a young rookie that, hey, welcome, you belong here. It just really means the world. So I'll never forget that. It was a cool night.
Now, you know, the day comes, you know, and I'm sure there's still more going on during the morning hours and such. And then you all adjourn to, as you said, getting glammed up. How long do you end up just sitting around with nothing to do waiting for that moment?
That's so funny you ask, because you have so much to do, and then that morning, you know, there's a lot of media and there's so much to do, and then there's about like 2 hours before the draft where there's absolutely nothing to do besides get your family organized and get ready to sit in the tables. And during those 2 hours, it's literally like just every thought comes to your mind, you know, rapid fire, and you're just thinking like, oh my gosh, you know, what does this mean? What does that mean? And then on top of it, this is, I guess this is insight into the draft. You'll be, you know, the ESPN commentators, I think it's Nagandi and Lobo and Lawson, it was for me, at least last year, they practice, you know, perspective one picks, perspective two picks, perspective, you know, last first round picks, transitioning. And so you'll hear, going number one in the draft is this person, or you'll think going number three. And so everyone's looking around like, have they already made decisions? Is this going on? So we were all, I remember, Odyssey Sims and I were just looking at each other like, what is going on? Is this real? Do they already pick? And then meanwhile, you're getting texts from, you know, GMs and, you know, coaches, whether college or WNBA, and they're saying, hey, welcome to the league. Enjoy the moment. And so much is happening. And then on top of it, you have your family that's freaking out and trying to keep you calm. So it's a lot, but it's like those last 2 hours are when, you know, you sort of lose your mind. But then when it starts, it's great. It's really fun.
How far in advance do GMs and owners and coaches start being allowed? I'm not even sure when they're allowed to. When do they start contacting you and asking questions?
The funny thing is, this is insight into my experience. last year I was, you know, draft, anything can happen. You never know who's going to go one, who's going to go 10, who's going to go four, whatever. So they, people expected me to go like top, obvious, you know, just,
yeah.
I don't know, general assumption.
General,
right?
Assumption was your Odyssey was going to be number one.
Yeah, exactly. And so people were talking, and I remember talking to everyone, saying like, oh yeah, I just got a text from, you know, this person, or I just got a text from that person. And I remember thinking, I have never once received a text. I have never once received a call. I've never talked to a GM. I was freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, does that mean they're not interested? Does that mean I'm going to go, you know, maybe to a different city, go lower, blah, blah, blah. But then it was funny. I got drafted and it was a blessing and everything was great. And then I went and talked to Coach Donovan. I was like, Coach Donovan, everyone here is talking about, like, you know, they've all talked to people beforehand, before the draft and all that stuff. And Coach Don was like, come on, Sinead, like, you didn't know we were going to pick you. And I was like, that's the thing. As a draftee, you really don't know. And it's always, you know, anything can happen and anything can change. But I thought that was really, it was a funny little occurrence. I was freaking out because everyone was getting messages. And everyone's experience is much different. Sometimes GMs want to get to know you, want to get to know what your interests are and all that stuff, because that does matter as well as what's on the court.
Well, this is certainly an interesting dynamic with this year's group, with the addition of the two underclassmen, Zowie B and Jewel Lloyd. Did that surprise you as somebody that's gone through, you know, the process? And, you know, obviously, with the education that you were getting at Stanford, I don't think with you it was ever a question that you would leave even if you had the opportunity. But did it surprise you when you saw that these two made that decision?
Knowing Jewel, I've never met Zowie, you know, I've never met her at all, but knowing Jewel from, you know, past years or so, I know she takes basketball very seriously, and I know she takes her academics very seriously,
mm-hmm.
but I know that she is one of those people that goes all in. So if she feels she's ready, whether it's, you know, academically or athletically, she's going to go all in. So I thought it was a game changer for this draft that, she, you know, she came out and said that she's going to, you know, go to the draft, but I wasn't necessarily surprised. You know,
mm-hmm.
because I know that she takes her basketball just as seriously as she takes, you know, her school. So I heard she has, you know, a few credits left, and she's very passionate about her major, so I'm not worried about that because, with that particular case. I know a lot of people try to make assumptions about people leaving early, you know, women's basketball players leaving early. But, you know, in Jewel's case, you know, she's very responsible. She went to a great school. She loves basketball. She loves, you know, her school as well. I'm not worried, you know, about her future, obviously. But with Zowie, I think that was awesome, too, because I watched her, you know, this year being able to see, you know, her play and then her gain, you know, hype and momentum and all that stuff. And especially as a post, emerging from, you know, a Minnesota is a big deal. So I think that was a huge moment for her. I know she's from Sweden. She knows a couple of people that I know through association. So I heard she's, like, an amazing girl, too. And I think people are just really trying to seize the moment, especially with basketball these days. So I was surprised with her because she's a sophomore, technically, correct? Redshirt,
yes.
Sophomore. I
yes.
was surprised, but at the same time, I think, you know, people are entitled to make their own decisions, and we just have to remember that, you know, it's a lifetime decision, and hopefully everyone will make sure all their bases are covered. But I think for a WNBA fan, it makes this draft really one of the most interesting drafts in the recent era.
Well,
so I think that's, as a, you know, on the other side as a person playing in the WNBA, I'm like, oh yeah, this is exciting, you know. But you want to always make sure that, you know, the girls get the most out of their education, and I'm pretty sure they will.
Well, sitting at number four is Connecticut, and you know this changes, I'm sure, the way that they're looking at things now that those two have entered, and they will be undoubtedly in the top picks. So that pushes people down that might have been higher. So. Yeah, I'm sure you were excited for whoever Connecticut ends up taking, but I'm sure that also it's even more exciting now that you know that it's going to be somebody else that may not have been there before.
Of course, yeah. I think Jewel and Amanda, you know, like, it's going to be really exciting for any team in the draft now, because now, you know, it's sort of like chess pieces are being moved, and it's really great for our team. First of all, we got a great trade. You know, acquiring Camille and Shakina is great, especially for a young team like us, Connecticut Sun. To gain experience is really good, and then to also have a chance to gain, you know, a little bit more youth as well, become deeper with our fourth pick is going to be very crucial and key for us. So I think I'm optimistic as ever, and I think that this draft will be really great for a lot of teams.
And Chelsea, of course, will be joining you again. Well, joining the Sun too. So
Chelsea's always been a part of the Sun. You know, she's communicated with us throughout, you know, our rookie years, Alyssa and I, and so we've always considered her a part of the team, even though now she's officially a part of the team. But I'm really glad to have her. I've known her for a long time, and she's just a fantastic passer, fantastic point guard, and she's been putting up numbers and getting buckets in Israel, and so I think her confidence is high, and I think it'll translate this year.
You know, geez, you know, you're in Connecticut here, so you've got that big fan base, and, you know, I look at this, and I've got you from Stanford, Alyssa from Maryland, Chelsea from Duke. We're getting all the rivals here, not the, you know, for the,
I know.
You know, but,
right.
and they're all
rooting. Diversity is good.
Well, but now, and Shakina becomes the second Tennessee player to wear a Connecticut Sun uniform after Kara.
Hey, I think Shakina is going to play hard regardless of what uniform she wears. yeah, I think, you know, honestly, at the end of the day, we just want to win. As players, know where we came from in college, it's a whole new game, and we just want to win. So, being introduced into the state of Connecticut is a big deal because basketball in Connecticut is a big deal. I remember I was at an event last year, and people were like, you know, it took us a while, Chiné, to like you, but I think we like you now. And I was like, dang. I was like, I didn't know I was starting from behind.
Well,
I started from the bottom. You
well,
know,
let me... I've always taken the position, let me tell you, I've always said there are two fans. There is the UConn fans, and there's the Connecticut Sun fans. And the Connecticut Sun fans love the Chiné drafting and want to see this team win, and they don't care who is on the team, where they're from, as long as they're playing hard and going for wins.
Exactly.
And that's what matters.
Exactly, yeah. I love our fans. They're very passionate, and, you know, especially with the WNBA and how we're continuing to fight for respect and, you know, expand our fan base. I feel like Connecticut is awesome, you know, is a great blueprint, and it's just so much fun to play at Mohegan Sun. And, you know, now we just got to keep, you know, stacking on some wins and building on it. And I think we're heading in the right direction, especially, you know, hopefully we'll see how it goes in a few days.
Yeah.
But I think no matter what, we're in a win-win at this point.
Are you cautiously optimistic about being able to play this year?
At this point, you know, I think that with my situation, you know, it's a bump in the road, but at the same time, you know, catching it at this point, catching it early is great, you know, than later. I feel great. I'm back on my feet and everything, but I've talked to so many people, you know, just being around athletes, and from their experiences, they're telling me, you know, do not rush. You know, and I'm not going to rush. I'm not going to jeopardize my long-term future, obviously, just to, you know, try to satisfy maybe one, two, three games or something like that. I think it's more so like building a foundation that we're working on in Connecticut, and I want to be a part of that foundation for years to come. So, you know, I'm doing great. My rehab, my knee's feeling great. I'm really glad to be able to share this experience with people, you know, so I can say, hey, you know, I've been there. I've been in the trenches, and I'm battling out. Science has advanced, too. You know, a lot of things I've learned is that science is way ahead than where it has been, you know, a few years ago. So I have a lot of good things working, plus my age, you know, being young. So I'm just, you know, going to take it day by day, and I'm doing my exercise. I'm working hard. You'll see. When I come back, I'll flex for you so you can see.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about is, now, one of the things that you, you know, immediately took to following in your sister's footsteps and based on your academic background and the things that you did at Stanford is you took right away to giving back. And you've been very much out there in the public eye, be it Nigerian causes, be it helping the WNBA with things. Are you going to be able, you're going to be at the draft, are you going to be able to share some of that insight and hopefully get some of these youngins coming in to get on board too with the social activism that you have done so well and makes, you know, fans of the league proud?
Thank you, first of all. That means a lot. I mean, honestly, I've been so blessed and fortunate. I always tell people my sisters, we never really knew basketball until we were tall enough and then we started, you know, playing the game. And then the game has brought us so much. You know, it got us, you know, to full ride scholarship to Stanford. It got us to the WNBA. And so we feel like it's only right to give back. And that's how our parents raised us. And it's also a passion of mine. I know that I'm going to be sidelined for an indeterminate amount of games or however long, you know, this year, but I'm still strong, you know, so I'm going to try to maintain my activism, if you call it, or, you know, outreach in the community, because it's an opportunity for me to really get out there and get to know each and every fan and every aspiring hooper, whether they're in Connecticut or if we're on the road. And I've already talked to Chris Yanko, our GM, about that, and everyone's so supportive. And to have a great, you know, supporting cast, you know, whether it's our coach, our GM, our doctors, whatever, to say, hey, Chanae, you know, you can do this, it really helps. And then obviously family. But I think it's very important, you know, for our game. I always say that the difference between the men's and women's game is that in the women's game, we're very intimate with our fans, meaning, like, our fans tend to know more about us than we even know. You know, they know our stats. They know us inside out. They know the opponents inside out. They know what our interests are. They know what you're majoring in. They know all these little things, what school you went to, and then you get to the WNBA, and those fans are still there, and they're still supporting you. You know, on the men's side, it may be, you know, oh, look at this player, look at the statistic. It's never really past that, you know, sometimes surface level. You see some great things happen, obviously, you know, with the NBA standing up, you know, especially with, you know, that I Can't Breathe shirts or something like that, where people have really grouped together and, you know, made an impact. Or the Lean In campaign, which is absolutely fantastic. Or Like a Girl campaign, which is awesome as well. But I think that, you know, if you're passionate about something, you do have a platform as an athlete. And I think it's your responsibility to use that platform, obviously, in a way that can help inspire other athletes, especially if you're a women's athlete, especially if you're a women's basketball player, because that's the only way our game grows. So that's just something, that's my little soapbox that I'm very passionate about. But I think that the rookies, I think everyone's realizing that you can control your own brand, and especially as a rookie, because, you know, you're coming off of the NCAA where you really can't do much. So then you have the opportunity to just seize control of your own future. And a lot of times people say, oh, I'll do that, you know, when I start tapering down towards the end of my career, you know, last few years. I think we're realizing that, you know, you need to start building yourself early, and just having a lot of great mentors. One of mine is, you know, Lisa Leslie. She's a fantastic individual. Known her for a while being on the West Coast, and she's really mentored me and taken me under her wing, especially, you know, with my current situation and then, you know, trying to seize these opportunities. So just having those people, like having people like Lisa who are, you know, Hall of Famer, and taking the time to talk to me and really help me try to reach and achieve my goals. That's what the women's game is all about, and that's what separates us.
Well, Chanae, you know, it's going to be an exciting week for a bunch of young ladies, one that you certainly went through and continue to grow and continue to get better as a player and as a person. There's no question about it that we in Connecticut are lucky to have you and that attitude that you just professed to having as part of our community. And we look forward to getting you back on the court as well. Thank you for taking...
Thank you. Don't worry. Don't forget. I cannot wait to hit that court too, so...
Yeah, well, you know, considering I remember what happened when you got hit in the mouth and you were back in the game with a mouth guard very shortly after that.
Hey, don't say that too loud. My mom should have known I should have been wearing it from the beginning.
Well, but mothers always know that stuff.
Exactly.
We know that.
True.
Chanae, thanks again, and we'll see you soon in Connecticut.
It's been a pleasure, yes. I can't wait for the draft. It'll be interesting.
That's for sure. Thank you again.